We're live.
Hey, I like to build cool stuff on the web. I'm a designer, developer, founder and CTO of CrowdFavorite, an original contributor to WordPress, and creator of the share icon. I'm Alex King, and the Dragcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
you know what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drag.
For the Dragcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Trey Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dragcast starts now.
Hail to the king, baby. We're back with Dragcast episode 37. Trey.
Hello, your grace.
What's up, brother? Are we already getting in the Game of Thrones mood? It's not April yet.
Oh no, we got about 3 weeks. I cannot wait. And how appropriate today is. Man, how you been, brother?
I am great. You're looking very loose and you look like you're feeling good, man. I know you tweaked your back a little bit. You've been beat up.
Man, a combination of I got an MRI Monday. We're gonna find out results tomorrow morning and make sure nothing crazy exploded. But I did have a slight slip disc that was popped back in. So through the chiropractor and acupuncture, which I didn't really believe in, I'm feeling a whole lot better. So hopefully tomorrow's the icing on the cake. And I got back on the mat last night, so I'm pretty excited about it.
Very cool. That's great to hear. And we have a guest that I know we're both very excited to have, and we had to reschedule once, so I know our audience is very excited that we finally got you on, Mr. Alex King. Alex, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Shucky ducky, man. So this is exciting.
This is going to be fun. So, Alex, what you got going on behind you there? You got a little stormtrooper, huh? Is that your buddy?
Where? Oh, yeah, he's there.
Is that your rubber duck? Is that when you have coding problems? Is that how you kind of talk out your issues to your stormtrooper to help you through that?
My whiteboarding buddy, yeah.
He looks like he's about to throw down. Like, look, if you give him any lip on the show, I will crush you.
I will try to shoot you and miss a lot. Very cool. So let's get into it, man. I want to know what you guys are sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
And I am thirsty, but I am back on the mat. That means I've cleaned up my eating habits. That includes drinking, and I am not sipping on anything alcoholic this evening. It's back to the good old Canada Dry.
Awesome.
Diet.
Alex, what do you got over there?
I have a mug of the finest water.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you guys are really up in the game for me here. Well, I'll be the resident alcoholic today. I'm drinking a very proud of this. If you can see it, this is my first homebrew IPA. Came out really, really good, and I'm enjoying it tonight. So enjoy your water, fellas.
If we had access to that, I think that we would both be partaking. And man, next time, Alex, you could lie through your teeth, brother. You could say you're sipping whiskey, all sorts of fun stuff.
Well, last time, before we had to reschedule, I did mix myself a Manhattan, bring it in a flask and everything, but I forgot this time.
Oh, man. You did all that, and we had to cancel. Well, I'm really glad you were able to come back. It's an unfortunate set of events with the weather, but we definitely wanted to have you on. We always have a lot of fun talking at WordCamps, and we're going to have a lot of fun talking with you tonight. So let's do it. I want to dive right into the interview.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most appropriate because, man, there's a long history here. When we talk about WordPress, when we talk about community, when we talk about key integral players and contributors in the WordPress space, not just from an organization perspective, companies and freelancing and all that fun stuff that you've been a part of, Alex, you were an early part of WordPress's successes, and you've sustained that. You're certainly still a big player today. I'd like to kind of understand, one, where you started in the development world, if you will, and design, because I like that you said you're a designer as well, although Brad may not agree that both can be done by the same person. I would beg to differ. Where did that come from, and then how did that translate into WordPress? Again, I know the early days, you were someone I looked up to.
Well, yeah, I actually started as a designer doing UI, UX design for web applications. That was my day job. And I also did front-end development back before it was really called front-end development. This is late 90s. And I was on the application team at my company. And so I sat in on all the architecture meetings and heard the developers talk about what they're working on. And I had an idea for a web app that I wanted to build. And so I just kind of started tinkering and sort of gravitated more towards the development side over time. But I still like to do a modicum of design from time to time. Most recent thing that I designed all on my own is probably a GameTonight.in/Denver, for example. It's a little site that lets you know if there's a ball game in your metro area, so if you need to adjust your travel plans accordingly. Our office is right in between the Pepsi Center, where the Avalanche and the Nuggets play, and Coors Field. So it's something that was kind of born out of necessity.
So how did you, I'm curious, how did you learn? Are you self-taught? Did you go to school to do design and UI and UX, or is this, you know, how did you kind of get into that realm?
I have a little bit of formal design, but most of that was self-taught, and then the kind of working on a team with a bunch of developers was really the way I learned development. By the time I wanted to dive in, it was really a matter of learning syntax. Like a lot of the concepts and best practices I had heard, you know, discussed over several years. So that was kind of how I got started. And a friend of mine at the company maintained a blog, a personal blog, and a blog for the company. And I thought, this is kind of cool. Maybe I'd like to do something like this. And I started looking around. And I'd been tinkering in PHP and MySQL a little bit and found B2. And that's what I started with.
Yeah, it started pre-WordPress, not even WordPress, B2.
Yeah, in fact, someone just noted in the Dradcast Drad Chat that Alex King was the theme repository before WordPress even had one. I like that.
Yeah, I organized two competitions that generated about 250, 300 designs. One was just for style sheets back before we had themes. So it's sort of like the CSS Zen Garden based on the default markup. And then the second was a theme contest once we had themes. And after I was reviewing them all individually and making sure that they didn't have security issues or things like that, because I was putting them up on my site as well.
Right.
And doing it for style sheets and doing it for themes, two totally different ball games.
That's crazy. And this is, yeah, man, we're talking January 2004, so WordPress 2003. Talk a little bit about that transition and that time with the fork, because there's not a lot of folks that we've had on the show. I mean, obviously Matt, but not a lot of folks that we've had on the show that were here during that transition, that new thing. WordPress was created. Now, where do I go? What do I do? I'm part of this community. This looks like it's maybe the way forward. I mean, or how did that work? How did that look for you as someone that was contributing and part of that community before WordPress forked off?
Yeah, I actually stayed on B2 for probably 6 months after WordPress forked. So that was probably, what, a year after the last release of B2. I had a number of customizations and things like that, and there wasn't an obvious reason to switch over, because some of the features that I cared about were things that I had built, and a couple of those Matt had rolled into WordPress. So I didn't have a compelling reason to switch early on. But then as WordPress continued to be developed, obviously, you know, it evolved and got better, and B2 wasn't. There were three main forks of B2, WordPress, B2 Evolution, and B2++. B2++ was, gosh, I hope I'm getting this right. I think it was Donica's project in Ireland. He was working on making the multi-site version, which later got rolled back into WordPress. B2 Evolution kind of went off on its own way. And when B2's founder came back, he looked at what was going on with WordPress and said, hey, this is great. WordPress is the official fork of B2. You should use that going forward.
That's crazy. And, you know, B2 Evolution, which is still a standing project, which is pretty interesting.
I'm learning stuff, things I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Today I learned on Dreadcast.
Mind blown.
It's like you said, Dre, it's pretty neat because we don't get a lot of people on the show that have that much history. So it's kind of fun hearing it from your take, how you saw it, how it progressed. You said you waited about 6 months to get into the work. Was B2 your first kind of dive into open source and contributing, which ultimately kind of obviously you rolled right into WordPress, you said 6 months in. Was that kind of your first, you know, real effort in the open source world?
Yeah, it was. And the developer community around B2 was really supportive. Mike Little in particular is a guy that spent a lot of time looking over features that I'd built and suggesting ways they could be better, and I learned a ton from that experience. And it was really rewarding to build something that I wanted and make it available to other people and see them get excited about it and use it. This was obviously before there were any plugins or themes, so everything was done as basically code patches and distributed in that manner.
So that talks a bit about how they progressed. I mean, we're in a very different place today, and you were contributing to B2. Some of those things made it into WordPress. You've contributed throughout the years. Let's talk a little bit about some of your more, maybe your personal favorites in terms of the contributions that you have given and spent time on with WordPress. What is your top number one favorite contribution that Alex King has contributed to WordPress?
Probably the JavaScript quick tags. The if you're not using the rich text editor, you get the little tags for opening and closing. And that was something that I think was one of the early roll-ins. I had pulled a little bit of code from PHP MyAdmin to figure out how to figure out cursor position and stuff like that, and then but I'm sure that almost all of that code's been rewritten and improved. at least I hope so by now. But that was a good one, I think.
And then there's silence. Man, I think you just stumped all of us going, wow, this is cool. He's been around since the beginning.
You're so old. So, let's start. So you got into WordPress. You started contributing a lot. I mean, back in the early days, your name was on everything. You were all over the place. But especially once, at least from my perspective, when I saw, you know, obviously when WordPress started to support plugins, you built and still build and maintain some of the really, really popular plugins out there. So what was that evolution like from, because I think a lot of people probably listening, including us, it's like to think of WordPress that doesn't have plugins or doesn't have themes, is you can't even fathom it. It doesn't make sense, right? Like how did people use WordPress before that? But what happened when you know, there was theme support so you could swap out the design and then that there was that plugin support? Do you feel like that was one of the kind of the big steps forward for WordPress when that came into core? Or was there another step that you felt like was kind of that really, it's kind of like this is legit now because this is now in WordPress?
I think a couple of things happened. The plugin architecture, I think, was probably the most prescient thing that went into WordPress early on. Like, it opened up so many things that we still use today. and so many capabilities. And not a lot of people really understood how big that would be. I certainly didn't. And then there's the idea of, you know, everybody's, at the time, it was very much a hacker community, and people are, you know, editing files left and right to make changes. And the idea, I remember when we had the plugins, and then, you know, Matt was insistent, like, we had to have a way to turn them on and off in the interface. Like, why do you need that? Right? You just, if you don't want it, you just delete it. If I've uploaded the file, clearly I want it there. Everything's done over FTP, of course, at the time. So Matt had some ideas for what this could be that were kind of far beyond my own purposes, where I was just looking at it going, you know, this is my use case. These are my needs. So it's been fun to see some of those play out. I think that one of the things that really allowed WordPress to take off was theme support, so that people, it used to be back in the early movable type B2 WordPress days, you go to a site, you know exactly what CMS it's running because they all look the same. And once people had a good choice of things, that visual presentation options, they felt like the site was more their own. And it also gave people roadmaps as to how to create their very own themes that were unique. So I think that that helped a lot. And then, of course, there's movable types, licensing choices, and other things that helped usher people into WordPress.
That, I think, was really a gateway that just floodgates at that point. That's where you saw the big influx. Although foundationally, I certainly wasn't, I think, some of the forward-thinking changes that really helped, I think, enable those floodgates to sustain people there, right? So I think some of those early changes you're talking about, when those floodgates opened, really helped get us to where we're at today. That's insane, man. I'm like over here with like a kid in a candy store grin. This is good stuff.
So you worked at WordPress, and I think the very next kind of evolution, or at least the big item, obviously, that you're known for is your company, Crowd Favorite. And Crowd Favorite, correct me if I'm wrong, I think is the first, at least to my knowledge, the first kind of 100% focused on WordPress that existed. Is that true, Alex? Were you guys the first one?
I think we are. It's not something that I normally volunteer because I'm not really sure either.
It was definitely very early on. When was Crowd Favorite? When did you officially start?
I hired my first person in mid-2007 and adopted the name Crowd Favorite at that time.
Okay, so it's definitely early on, because I think we've talked about on the show quite a bit that 2008 was kind of one of those golden years for WordPress companies. A lot of theme shops, a lot of agencies started in 2008, so you definitely had to jump on that. And I think the other unique factor, which is funny when we say unique in this aspect, because you're a brick and mortar. You have an office, and we'll get into some changes that have happened recently, but up until those changes, everybody was in that office and worked locally together, right? You're not distributed. You're not hiring people all over the world. You're hiring people local to your office there in Colorado.
That's correct. And also, we didn't hire out of the WordPress community, which was another difference. We hired specifically generalists and then taught them WordPress as a platform.
What was the? That's interesting. I actually didn't know that. So, what was the reasoning behind that? Is that from your first hire on? You went in with that mentality, or is that just kind of how it happened? And you realized it was working really well, so you just stuck with it.
There were a couple of the first few hires, it was accidental. There was no purpose to it, but later on it became purposeful because we found that the more complex work we were doing, the less the problems we were solving were necessarily WordPress related. A lot of the problems we were trying to solve were general web development problems, and having people with a diverse background and a breadth of knowledge meant that we would get the best of the Ruby community, the best of the Python community. We'd get ideas from other places that would solve problems in great ways. and we could implement them in WordPress. We could use other technologies. So while we were using WordPress as our, you know, our platform of choice, like early on, I'll say maybe as late as 3-4 years ago, you'd see all of these things that people were building into WordPress as plugins that don't necessarily belong there, right? I would say some of the security solutions that people have tried to do as plugins, like a lot of security issues are not related to WordPress. They're related to...
Let's not get Dre all fired up.
He's right on track. He's 100%.
I know. I do. You love it.
No, preach on, player.
It's the server configuration. I mean, it's so many things beyond just what's going on at the WordPress level.
Absolutely.
Right? There's the Apache level or Nginx or whatever it is, Lighty. And you've got database security. I mean, there's all these different things.
The whole stack comes into play.
Absolutely. So the more people know about that whole stack, the better decisions they make. Certainly. And the broader their knowledge is, the better decisions they make, and the more creative ideas come out of it. It's sort of the idea of kind of diversity in technology.
Well, to that same error, so I've got one employee at Security that was from the WordPress community. Everybody else is from just a wide range of different experiences and experience levels, right? But we've got folks that like you said, Ruby to JavaScript to, you know, WordPress to Joomla, you name it, just really, really spread out. And it's helped us grow in different areas where otherwise we would have been really shut down to that one thing.
Yeah, and I think that a couple of things have happened in the last couple of years. One, I think that the development best practices around WordPress have improved, and I think that a lot of developers have, within the WordPress community, have upped their game as a result, like kind of rising tide. And then I think that also more experienced developers are coming to the WordPress platform because of its reach. So I'm not militant about not hiring somebody with WordPress practice experience. If we get a great candidate, you know, we're going to bring them in regardless of whether or not they have WordPress experience. But yeah, for a while, it was something we did somewhat intentionally.
Jeffro in the chat room, our number one fan, Jeffro, has a question for you, which is related to this. So he said, when you hire people, do you or did you differentiate between WordPress developers versus PHP developers? And the contention being that a WordPress developer is not necessarily a PHP developer.
Well, we didn't necessarily even hire PHP developers.
Good answer.
But yes, I mean, there are, we would not want to hire somebody that couldn't solve problems just as well without WordPress as they can with WordPress.
So you're like you just said, you're looking for problem solvers. Regardless of their skill set necessarily, you're looking for problem solvers. Obviously, they would need to be developers, but problem solvers, and then you train them what the problems are going to be solving, right?
Yeah, because we've got a lot of WordPress knowledge. It's really easy to train an experienced developer up on a platform. Mm-hmm. What's much harder is to take someone that only knows one platform and try to give them a broader sense of, you know, all the different things that are out there.
Yeah, that's definitely a neat approach for sure. Very cool. So Crowd Favorite has grown over the years. Obviously, you started off in 2007, and how big are you today?
Well, the combined entity now is right around 50.
Speaking of combined entity, I like how you segued us there. So yeah, let's talk about that. So there was a big announcement, and it's been a few months now since that announcement, I believe,
yep.
Or close to it, right? So why don't you tell everybody, what was the big announcement, and then we'll kind of get into the meat of it.
Yeah, so last fall, Kareem and I started talking, Kareem of VeloMedia, and we found that we had a lot of stuff in common, as far as culture and values and what we were trying to do with our companies, but we were approaching building the businesses from very different perspectives. I was coming more from the development side, and he was coming more from the business side, given his experience. And so we basically, as we were exploring this, are like, okay, there's a pretty obvious fit here if we'd like to bring these things together. So that's what we decided to do. And we're still kind of in the early stages of the integration. This sort of thing takes time. But yeah, we went from just a single office in Denver to having multiple offices all around the world. And we're working with people now remotely as well as in the office, and it's been a lot of fun.
So I've had the opportunity, and I know Kareem well as well, a great guy, and I've had the opportunity to chat through him and kind of his visions and thoughts on business in general, platform, and being agnostic maybe, not necessarily a WordPress-specific shop before. That may have changed now. Where were you in that whole grand scheme of things? I mean, I'm looking at a shop or an organization, a company with great leadership that's coming in maybe a year, 2-3 years in the WordPress community, but may have hooks into other things. And all of a sudden they're talking with someone that I've admired for years and I've learned from, and an organization that has built an organization that has helped mold those type of organizations, if you will, within the WordPress world. Now that's meshing. I mean, how does that fit? I mean, it seems, sure, there may be values and organizational things that are the same, but it seems very, very opposite sides of the football field, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we didn't see it that way. you know, there are projects that we do outside of WordPress, but WordPress is definitely the mainstay of our business. I think it's a good idea to be open-minded to all technologies that are out there. You never know what the next interesting thing might be, and the more you can push the envelope with cutting-edge tech, you know, I'm not saying without WordPress, you know, it can be within WordPress, the easier time you have attracting great talent. Because that's the sort of stuff that they want to play with. We're definitely interested in using the latest and greatest web development techniques. We have the privilege of being able to suggest a lot of the technology solutions that we use with our clients. And we've got our set of Capistrano tools for deployment and local setups, and that's all Ruby stuff. We've got, other internal tools that we've built that are PHP-based. We've got other tools that are kind of like Capsule that's WordPress-based. Mm-hmm. So we want to use the right tool for the job. It's sort of the thing we want to avoid is the classic, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Definitely.
Situation, right? But that doesn't mean that a hammer is not a useful tool.
Certainly, and you mentioned something there in terms of some of the things that you guys have created, maybe not necessarily a service or a project-based thing, right? So do you see the organization maybe kind of branching out even further, not just doing big projects? You guys are certainly in an area where you're doing enterprise level projects with some really, really neat names, but do you see services and products coming from this, and is that a branch that you continue to mold and build?
Yes.
All of the above.
Yes. We got another chat room question. This one's from Bert. It's a good one. Other people like it. I think it's great. So he wants to know, what's been the best part and the most challenging part of the merger for you and also for your staff? You know, has it had an effect on company culture? Obviously, a decision this big is going to have some effect on both sides. So curious, kind of what are some of the good things, maybe some of the challenges that have come up? And we know it's still fairly new, but anything you can speak to would be great.
Yeah, I think the best thing has been getting to know some of the great people from VeloMedia and Pixeljar a lot better. You meet a few people from a company and you think, okay, these folks are great. I hope everybody else is the same way, right? we've had people come in from all over the world to spend time here in the Denver office, which has been awesome. And we're getting more comfortable using tools that I'm sure Brad's team uses all the time for video chat and remote collaboration and things like that. I think that the biggest challenge for the team here in Denver has been probably getting used to having people remote and changing some of the habits that we've had that work well when everybody's in the same room but don't necessarily scale. And then I think probably some of the challenges for the people that we've brought into the team are sort of the opposite, that you've got distributed offices and trying to feel like they're, join up with this larger office and feel like everybody's part of the same team. So social things help with that. Tools help with that. We do our tech lunch every 2 weeks where people present things that they've learned. We set it up this year so everybody does at least two presentations a year, one nice. Work-related and one non-work-related. So there have been some pretty cool things. We've got a guy who's going to school for some sort of advanced something degree who taught us about the different tools that they use to identify minerals. And then another guy did a presentation on wood turning with a lathe. So there's been all sorts of fun stuff beyond kind of the tech. And I think it really helps so that people get a sense of, the people that they're working with and the new people to the team in both directions.
And you know, that's...
What was it like for you? Yeah, I just want to know what it was like for you, because I know, obviously, Crowd Favorite, you started it, it's your baby, so I'm sure a lot of thought went into it on your side, to make that decision, because it's a huge decision, and, it's going to affect everything you've worked on from the start up until when that happens. Was it an easy decision for you to make? Did you have some nights where you just line up thinking about it? I mean, was it just an obvious no-brainer, and you dove right into it, or what was that like, kind of making that decision for a company that you started?
I think that the timing was really good for me. Over the summer, I'd gone to a conference called Owner Camp, and I wrote about this a little bit on my blog. It's organized by the folks at HappyCog, and it's for digital agency owners. They bring in about 30 people. And while we're in kind of the old guard in the WordPress space, we were one of the youngest companies at OwnerCamp. And so I was able to kind of pick the brain of a lot of people that have been successful for a lot longer in their business than I'd been. And there were teams there that were up to 60 people. And so it really kind of opened my eyes to some of the different places that I thought Crowd Favorite could go and what it could become. And so I was in a good place to kind of start that conversation with Kareem, if you will. I think that some of the most important things for me were trying to make sure that this was a long-term career choice for people on the team, that they felt like they could grow within the team here, and that there were not necessarily advancement by like moving into management or things like that, but that the scope of what we could do was growing, that they weren't going to outgrow the projects and the team here. That was a big thing for me. And then another aspect of it was having my eyes open to what it would take to take those next steps if we did it organically, the way we had been building the business. And all of the things that went into working with clients on that next level in terms of account management and sales and things like that. And quite frankly, things that I just didn't have a passion for. Whereas, like, that's what gets Kareem going, right? He's all about that stuff. And so it was really easy to see how if we came together, I could focus more on the stuff that I was passionate about. He could lead the things he's passionate about, and we'd be in a better position to kind of take those next steps than either of us would have been on our own.
Well, having a respect for both of you and in everything that you've done, I am sure it is going to be a wonderful and growing entity for years to come. In fact, not only representative of what you guys are doing, I think it's very representative of where the WordPress world is going. If you could speak to that for a second, what do you think happens next? Do we see more of these types of M&As or mergers or integrations between great companies in the WordPress space?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think that when you're growing organically, it's really easy to get to a certain plateau. Maybe that's about 3 years in. And that's fairly manageable. Maybe at that point, maybe you're 7 people, maybe you're 15 people, you know, whatever it,
sure.
whatever it is. And I think that as you become more competent as a team at that size, then it gives you a chance to start looking beyond what you're currently doing. And I think that that's where people start looking at this type of roll-up or tuck-in or whatever you want to call it. I think that, you know, if people are honest about where their strengths and weaknesses are, then you can see, you know, if you think about things that you don't do as well and you look out at other people that you see doing those particular things really well, you know, that's something that's going to appeal to you.
And I love it. I love you guys, and I love what you're doing. Let's see where this pans out. Hey, who knows? One day maybe you buy WDS, and I come work for you guys, and I'm the man on the streets. we'll see what happens. But I never know. Look, I think it's signs of things to come. Because I think the natural progression that you see in a community like WordPress, where it's growing and continuing to thrive, it's just natural for these things to happen. Natural, like it is us segueing into pressing topics of the week.
Word. Pressing. Topics of the week.
Aw, shucky ducky, man. That was the worst segue in the history of segues. That was awesome.
I liked it. I was so good I wasn't ready for it, but somehow I did it.
So what's going on?
What topics we got?
Yeah.
Well, WordPress is still in beta.
3.9.1. That is.
Still in beta.
3.9, so. Beta 1. Yeah, so I had actually the opportunity to install it, and I am not. I haven't had the opportunity to play with it, you guys. Have you guys done a test run on it yet?
Yeah, I installed it on my local environment and ran my personal site through it, and nothing broke, so that was very promising.
That is a plus. That is a checkbox in the plus column for sure. Nothing broke. Did you file that bug report back to track? Yeah, nothing broke. It's great.
Hey, when you're at beta, if nothing's breaking, that's high praise.
You're doing all right. You're doing all right. That's good. I have actually not. I'm still I'm behind. I installed a new hard drive, so I'm still working on getting all my environments set up. So I'm a little bit lagging on that. But from what I've heard, it's seems to be pretty solid. Like Alex said, I haven't heard too many big issues. Still seems to be on track for a release next month, which is exciting.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, we'll see some things continue to ramp up here. So about a month out, I'm assuming sometime mid-month we'll be seeing that. You know, the interesting thing came out on post status actually a couple days ago, where WordPress.com has opened applications for commercial themes. They've added a new page on WordPress.com inviting theme makers to submit their theme shops to the platform. Now, we talked a bit about some mergers, acquisitions, and changes there, but this is a really interesting thing, I think, because of WordPress.com's sheer footprint. And now inviting and kind of opening the doors to other development organizations or theme shops to come in and bring kind of new look, feel, functionality to WordPress.com. Do we see this as a growing trend there in terms of them allowing and opening up for new functionality and stuff from outside sources?
Yes. This is, in my opinion, this is a really big move. And if you're doing any kind of theme designing and selling those designs, or really release them, whether you're selling them or not, I mean, you want to be a part of this. This is big. I mean, how many blogs and how many websites are on WordPress.com? Somewhere around like 40 million or something. So the product that you would be selling through WordPress.com could, you know, effectively be in front of 40 million users that could potentially buy it, and you're going to get some profit sharing out of that. So I think it's huge, the fact they're opening this up to anyone to submit their theme. I mean, obviously there's going to be a vetting process of some sort, and they're going to review them, so they're not going to just accept everybody, but this is much more open than it has been in the past.
Yeah, I think, you know, on top of that, you're going to see, I'm sure there's going to be guidelines you need to follow, GPL-based stuff. What does this do to other organizations out there that are selling themes or allowing their developers and designers to sell themes and products like ThemeForest? I mean, it doesn't bode well for them, I think, longer term, if the depending on really how the model works, right? Are they going to incentivize in a way that's a little bit cleaner than ThemeForest or some of these other places out here? Do we see a hit on these other companies, or is it something that really maybe just sticks into the companies that aren't worried about licensing and things like that?
Yeah, it would be, well, one thing that caught my eye, if you go to the website theme.wordpress.com/join, the join page, where they have a simple form you can submit, they basically say that you can charge whatever you want. There's no exclusivity on your theme, so you can sell it in other places. You get the profits evenly. So the fact that they're kind of letting you set your own price tag, I think, is really interesting. So you could go on there and sell a $500 theme. Now, I don't know if you sell very many at that, but it sounds like you could do that, which is interesting. It's not just a fixed rate that you have to abide by.
So some of the other marketplaces have exclusivity clauses, though. Like,
yes.
I think what are you?
ThemeForest does, right?
Yeah, I think it's absurd.
It's like, and it's like, I don't think it's you have to, but I think if you do, you make a lot more. Like, you get more of this, more money, and if it's not exclusive, you get a much smaller chunk of the money. I believe is what it is.
Last I checked, it was 25% if you didn't sell it exclusively.
That's ridiculous.
So, jeez. So if I understand this correctly, you take a GPL theme, you put it on ThemeForest, and you sell it and exclusively through them, and the people that purchase it now have more rights on that theme than you do.
Oh, man.
Because you've agreed to only distribute it exclusively through them. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't. Imagine if something like this, is great that it's going on .com, but it's also limited, you know, obviously limited to using a site through WordPress. You know, I almost wonder if there is a long-term vision of something like this for actually just selling themes through a marketplace, you know, a WordPress-approved marketplace for someone running their own self-hosted. I got to believe there's some longer-term vision here around something like that, which would be a direct competitor, something like ThemeForest.
I've advocated for that for several years. I think that the WordPress Foundation could run it, and some of the profits could go back to maintaining the store, hiring people to work on .org, build tools, et cetera, so that it doesn't all have to be bankrolled by Audrey Capital.
That's something I'd be
on board. I mean, that's a beautiful idea. And there are reviews, so I mean, just like anything else, it's going to be reviewed what your theme that, assuming it gets accepted, is going to pass a test to make sure that it's legit and follows all the rules. I know in the past, I think ThemeForest has gotten a little bit better about this over the years, but or most recently in the past year, but traditionally, a lot of the teams on ThemeForce are junk, and you know they're just so much like features and bloat stuffed into them, and they're not coded the right way for WordPress standards, and they just don't scale well. They don't upgrade well. So you know if you get something for WordPress.com, it's going to be as good as it possibly could be before it's ever allowed to be sold. So that's another incentive. If nothing else, get a free theme review, right?
Where's this go in terms of functionality through plugins? Do we see some similar type model at the WordPress from the WordPress.com camp at some point?
Never.
I think that they hate
developers.
I mean, I think Automattic has a real challenge with WordPress.com and the themes that they offer. It's, you know, something that they have to deal with is one of their customers setting up a theme, becoming reliant on features of that theme, and then deciding they want to change themes and wondering where their features went and, you know, filing a support ticket, right? So I would imagine that some of the functionality within the themes that are allowed to be sold through this new program are going to be somewhat limited for that reason. I think it's a reasonable limitation. I think that it's a little bit unfortunate because it limits creativity, and maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe they'll take on anything. But I think that, you know, that's the concern I've heard in the past, mm-hmm. and I certainly understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, it's yeah, I mean, I think just in the past, and this is, I mean, we've talked about this. I've talked to him, I don't know, on multiple shows that he's been on, that I've been on, about having some kind of commercial, even if it's just like on WordPress.org, kind of promoting commercial themes, doing something similar for commercial plugins, and I just don't see it happening. It just seems very against it, which is unfortunate, because I think if done smartly, I think it could be done really well. But who knows? I've been surprised before, so... surprise me, please.
Please surprise me. Man, I think I'm going to surprise...
This is pretty neat, though.
Well, let me surprise you with something that I actually prepared for this week. A bar trick.
Uh-oh. You'd surprise me.
Here we are. Shucky ducky.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Man, moving right along. So... All right, I actually have two bar tricks this week. I thought they were pretty cool. One is just super silly, but I think it talks to where you end up when you grow up. So where do you want to be? Not sure, but this little website, Nifty Tool, will tell you. It's called StartupJobTitleGenerator.com. It's completely worthless, but it's hilarious in its own right. So add WordPress in front of any of the results you get on this page, and it'll tell you what your WordPress startup job title would be. That's terrible. So right now, I am the WordPress featherweight Python noob. I don't know how that works, but I'll take it. Jeez. All right, so on to my real bar trick. This is pretty cool from the folks over at Tribe, Modern Tribe. They put together a freelance page. It's got a bunch of resources. It's a full toolkit, like Bootstrap, for your business. It's got stuff around... scope creep and how you maybe minimize that, how to freelance, what you should charge, are you working for free, how to marry your clients. It's got a bunch of neat little articles that help every freelancer out there maybe take it to the next level. So there you have it, freelance.tri.be from the guys over at Tribe.
That's a great resource. I think that what I really love about that is the fact that it's kind of like Modern Tribe giving back. You know, they're kind of saying, look, here's some great resources. Here's some things that we agree with, especially for freelancers just starting out. Knowledge like that is very, very valuable, you know. So it's really neat to see larger agencies kind of giving back to help out. Maybe some people are just getting started. And honestly, that's what this makes this community great, right? We all like to help each other, just open source in general. Alex, do you have a bar trick?
I do not. I am woefully unprepared.
I got a great one for you, Alex. So Alex's bar trick, we didn't get a chance to get to it, but why don't we plug your blog? Because I mentioned before the show that I've really enjoyed some of your blog posts recently. So yeah, why don't we plug alexking.org? Check out his blog. There's a couple of great articles. The Just Start post you made the other day really resonated with me. I've had very similar experiences with just kind of, you know, you have a long-term vision. You don't know every single detail about it, but it's like, just start working on it and fill in the blank. I think it's really kind of a powerful statement you're making there, and I absolutely agree with it. And also about the new hire, how new hires have three jobs. Those are two articles, I think maybe your two most recent, but I really enjoyed them. So Alex's bar trick is blog. And I have a fun one. It's a post that Jeff Rowe put up on WP Tavern, which is neat. It's a video that explains open source using Legos, which is kind of fun because we kind of take open source, I think, just the meaning of it for granted. If you've ever worked on it for any period of time, like, we know what open source is, we understand it. But to the common person, they don't, and they think, I don't know if you get these questions anymore, Alex, and we don't get them as often as we used to, but we still get them. Like, wait, so is the code of my website available for anyone to download? And like, no, that's not necessarily that's not really what open source means. So it's kind of like just a very easy concept video, all done with Legos. It's very fun. It's, I think, about 4 minutes long, but it explains what open source is and why it's good and why it helps benefit the community rather than individuals in a very easy, straightforward way. So anyone asks you, what is open source? Just send them a link to this video, and they'll definitely understand whether they're a tech person or not. So I thought it was kind of neat. And we'll have that in the show notes as well.
Love it.
Oh, yeah, and Craig mentioned Game Tonight. That's another one for you. GameTonight.in, which is the site you put together, right, Alex?
I did. Yep.
Wow, any upcoming events?
There's a game in Philly.
Philly. Miami. I think we're going to have the three of us in Miami here come in May, so in about 2 months, month and a half. What else is going on? Atlanta just passed. Any upcoming events next month, guys?
My next event is going to be Miami, so I will see you on the beach.
Yes, sir. Sounds good to me. And then Philly shortly thereafter, June 7th through the 8th.
Philly in June. Alex, love to have you out. Maybe you could send some come out or send some representatives of Crowd Favorite and get Kareem out here and the whole crew. That'd be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Hopefully it will be warm by then. I'm starting to wonder, but it is June, so I'm hoping it'll be warm. And then hopefully we'll see everybody at WordCamp San Francisco in the fall, which we generally are all at as well.
Most definitely. Hey, where can we find you, Alex? If folks are looking to find out, you know, Crowd Favorite, there's Velo Media. I'm sure everything's kind of aggregated or at least moving that direction. Where can they find your business stuff? Where can they find you for, let's say, a personal note?
So I can be found at alexking.org, alexking.org on Twitter. For business, crowdfavorite.com. It's going to get updated at some point soon here to reflect the merger, and at crowdfavorite on Twitter.
Love it. What about you there, Mr. Bradford?
I am on Twitter, Williams B-A.
Williams Ba. I am Dre Maida, Alex King. You're definitely someone I admire, and I appreciate everything you've done for the WordPress community, my friend. Thanks for joining us today. You're a class act and definitely a favorite amongst the growing crowd. Folks, thanks for tuning in, and for the rad and drad, and I'm the doctor. Thanks for tuning in again, episode 037. Long live the king, my friends. I'm out.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes. Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in. Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Drag.